God loved you so much that He only made one of you. Come on, somebody. And what He did was He custom designed and fitted a person to be strong where you were weak and weak where you were strong. And the reason you are absolutely totally different than your spouse was on purpose. If you're exactly alike, one of you is not needed. Come on, the right one say amen this morning. We're going to talk about 1 Peter chapter 3 says it this way. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding. Everybody stand up. It helps you to stand up just for a minute again to get you moving again. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in a dumb way. Is that what it says? Live with your wives in what? An understanding way, giving what? Honor to your wife as a weaker vessel. Not weaker mentally or spiritually, weaker physically, which we'll show you in just a second. Since they are the heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And so we've been talking about a family matter. This family matter is number two. And today we're going to talk about incompatibility. And many in divorce cases, that is the grounds for divorce. We're going to talk about it's the grounds for a great marriage. So let's pray. Father, one more time we ask you, open our eyes. Help us today to listen, to hear, to grasp, and that we can live with one another in an understanding way, giving grace and honor to each other. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. One of the keys about is that you need to know some things about your spouse if you're going to live together for a long time. One of those things is to need to know they are absolutely different than you. Last week we talked about communication. And communication, we talked about words. That some words mean different to a husband than they mean to a wife. Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of a word that means different to a man than to a woman. One of those words is 5 minutes. Everybody say 5 minutes. Is that right? You ready yet, honey? How long? Give me 5 minutes. Well, you know, the last thing you do is look at your watch. That's not what 5 minutes can mean. Anything from a minute to 2 hours. It's just all there. Another word is nothing. That's a word that means totally different to a man than to a woman. You go to a man, you say, what you think about? Nothing. He ain't thinking about nothing. But you go in your house and you hear door slamming. You ask your wife, what's wrong, honey? And she says what? You better run. You better take off and run, because that's not what it means. A sigh. You know, when a guy sighs, that means life is good. Work is over. But when a woman sighs, that means what dumb thing have you done again that I have to deal with? So communication is totally different between one and the other. And we're going to talk about some differences because it is totally different. There's a good scripture in the book of Proverbs says, one time I had an elder and his wife get up and teach on marriage. I'll never forget, she got up and she said, when I got married, I thought I'd married Roy Rogers. She said, after the first night, I realized I'd married Trigger. Come on, somebody. There's a good scripture that tells about that in the book of Proverbs. It says, where there is no ox, the stable stays clean. Come on, somebody. But it said, you know what that means? That means poo. You know, a poop, you know, that means where there's no ox, there's no poop. Come on, somebody. But the second part of that verse says, where there is an ox, where you have the strength of an ox, there is productivity. So you have to balance the poop with the productivity. Just thought I'd throw that in there right there. Everybody say incompatibility. Now, let me give you this real fast because we're going. That's not the main thing. One of the big differences between men and between spouses is personality. You can have a totally different person, and that's usually what happens. Usually a person, you're drawn to a person that has a totally different personality than you. You're shy, they're outgoing. They're this, you're that. You're this. And so what happens is opposites do attract many times. You're this and you attract to that. Now, this is general, you know, it's stereotypes. Not all of you fit in this. Some of you will look and see and think, oh, you're saying that's a woman's characteristic. That's mine. I'm not some woman. Because it's not across the board to try to get to every little detail. Because every person is so different. I'm using generals and stereotypes. You can interpolate it for your own life and your own marriage. But let me give you some personalities here. In Proverbs chapter 30, it lists four little animals that I like to use as personality types. And you can use kind of anything. But we'll use these just to throw it out there. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25, it speaks about the ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The ant, I don't know if you've been on a picnic. How many know an ant does not care whether you weigh 50,000 times more than it does? If you got something it wants, it's coming after. Is that right? It'll eat your bologna. So you can lay your bologna sandwich down, and if there's ants, they'll be all over that bologna sandwich. I remember one time we did a wedding, and we did it outside, and at a certain part, I was going to serve communion. I remember I took that communion top off, and ants had gotten all, I mean, they were all over that thing. Ants do not care. You know what an ant personality is? An ant personality is that driving personality. If there's a piece of equipment, it'd be a bulldozer. Have you met anybody that's a bulldozer? I mean, they don't care about collateral damage. They're just going to get the job done. I've done a lot of construction work through the years, and there's some people that, you know, I've got to talk to, because sometimes all they got is they don't care about collateral damage. They're going to get the job done. Some people marry somebody that's a bulldozer. They're driven. They're bottom line orientation. Everything. The ant is a courageous little guy, as I said, and they don't care about details. In fact, details bores an ant personality. They don't want no details. Just give me the big picture. Give me the bottom line, and we're going to go. That's an ant, when he comes home and he's had a plumber there that day, he asks his wife, "What did the plumber say?" An ant personality does not want you to say, "Well, you know, he's married. He's got three kids, and they're in that." What did the plumber say? What did he say about the toilet? That's all I want to know is about the toilet. I'm excited about that. All right. Number two. Proverbs, the next one is the rock badgers in verse 26. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. It's not badgers as we know it. It was little animals that used to live in the rocks, and when trouble came, they'd back up into the rocks, and they would use the rocks as shelter. And these are literally, psychologists say, most of society falls into this category, about 69% of you. And this is a picture of a person that's a steady person. They're steady. It means they're a team player, very loyal. They're relationally orientated. They don't like conflict. They're passive in terms of aggression. When conflict happens, they back up into their security zone. They don't like conflict in marriage. They'll do anything they can to stop a problem. They don't want to argue about nothing. Okay, use your way. You do it. You know, a peacemaker is not the same as a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper will just, you know, keep peace at all costs and just... But a peacemaker is one that makes peace. And so one of the keys about this one is one thing a badger don't like is change. And a steady person, they just don't like change about anything. The badger, as I said, the biggest fear is they hate it. They cannot stand change. They like the same slippers, the same car, the same brush, the same brand of food, the same hair product, the same, you name it. They like everything the way it was. They do not like change. If you married a driver, an ant personality, what happens is a person that has a badger personality loves to save stuff. They have a junk drawer. They not only have a junk drawer, they have a junk closet. They not only have a junk closet, they have a junk garage to where the car can no longer fit into the garage. If you marry an ant personality, the first thing that ant personality does, takes that bulldozer and starts cleaning out the junk. Come on, somebody. All right, well, they're just throwing this in. Number three, this is proliferative. Let me just give this out. Now, the third one is the locusts have no king, and all of them, say all of them, march in ranks. This is a personality. The locust flies in groups, and this is a person that loves groups more than being alone. If you want to torture them, put them in a room by themselves. It would be absolute torture to them. When they go anywhere, they want to go in a group. Can we invite so-and-so? Can we invite so-and-so over tonight? And if you got one person that's a loner, another person that's a very outgoing, no, I don't invite anybody. We're going to go out for ourselves. Just go out by ourselves. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to go out and eat. Or they, and what, when they go somewhere, they don't want to go by themselves. They want to go as a group. They're very personal. Then number four is the lizard. Let me give this one out. Number four, the lizard you can take in your hands, yet it's in king's palaces. Lizard got those beady eyes. A lizard can, when he comes, you know there's some lizards in your house, more than likely. There's spiders, there's all this and that. But normally there's lizards in your house because lizards find any little crack to get inside your house. They're in king's palaces. They represent a perfectionist. They're analytical type individual. Has those beady eyes, always looking and always analyzing. And he's analytical. Some of you, when you finish reading your newspaper, you fold it back just the way it was. Every crease. Then when you get that section, you fold that section back. And then when you're done, you put it all back together just like it was, and you put the rubber band back around it. Some of you, the newspaper is spread from your car to the toilet. Come on, somebody. Laying everywhere. And what happens is that one of the big things about marriages is the personality conflicts that take place. At the beginning, because if you marry a person and you'll say, when's he ever going to get it together? When he's ever going to pick up his clothes? When's he going to fold them? When's he going to put his underwear back in the drawer the way they ought to go, stacked on top of each other? And the other person says, when is she ever going to lighten up? When life is more than you know, stacking underwear in a drawer. When's he ever going to live life? And the personality, because what happens is, what attracted you initially in the first few years of your life, after 7 years or 10 years or 15 years, began to repel you, and you begin to think, "What? Who in the world is? We're not. We're totally incompatible." But that was the very thing that drew you to them. They weren't like you. You liked that about them. They were this and they were that. And then what happens is it begins to repel you. They're not like me. When are they going to get their act together? On and on. And so what happens is you begin to think about that literally you have married the wrong person. But that's absolutely untrue. Because God loved you enough to fashion somebody totally different than you. How they get up, when they like to do, what they like to eat, on and on. Totally different than you. Now, not only are there personality differences, but the bigger difference is gender difference. That is, every woman is made different than every man. Doesn't matter who you are or where you are. If you're a woman, you are made different. God made you different than He made your husband. Every woman is made different than the way God made a man. And you need to understand that because something happens. Let me give you a few things here and it'll help you. Number one is, when a baby boy is conceived, every cell in his body is different than every cell in a girl. The girl is two X chromosomes that make up your cell. The boys are XY chromosome that make up our cells. Totally different. There's a part of the way why when a woman has a better immune system than a man from the beginning when the cells begin to divide. That's one reason that women generally outlive men on the average of about 8 years longer than a man lives. Women tend to deteriorate 2% every year, every 10 years, but men deteriorate 10% every 10 years. And after 40, it speeds up for men. We just kind of take off. We have 1 million more red blood cells in every drop of blood than women have. That's one of the reasons why a man has more energy during a work day than a woman does. Men, 40% of our body weight is muscle. Women, 20% of your body weight is muscle. Women have an added insulation cells right under their skin. That's why their skin is more smooth than a guy's skin. It's also the reason why a woman's metabolism is slower than a man. That's why a woman cannot eat as much as a man. If she does, she'll be a balloon. She cannot, because she gains weight faster and it's harder for her to lose weight. Come on, all the women ought to say amen right there. Come on. It's absolutely true. When you say, "Why don't you lose some weight, honey?" "I lost weight. Look what I did. I started drinking diet. I lost 15. Why don't you lose some weight? Because it's harder for her to lose weight than it is for you. It's a lot harder. Men's bones are heavier, and this will be evident. You know, we count this one to be self-evident. Men's skulls are thicker. Come on, somebody. But probably the most significant way that we are different is the way our brains are wired. Our brains are absolutely, totally wired, totally different. When a baby boy and a baby girl is born, in terms of our brain, we are identical for the first few days of our life. And then something happens in a boy's body that doesn't happen in a girl's body. And that is, there is a flush of some chemical fluids that wash through our body, if we're being a boy, that does not happen to a girl. After a few days, the chemical starts flowing, and there's really two of them, but one of them is called testosterone. And it starts flowing to your body, begins to stamp various things throughout the body to be eternally different. And one of the significant things about this chemical is that when it hits the brain of a male, it cuts the left hemisphere from the right hemisphere and generally shrinks the left hemisphere. Come on, say we're brain damaged. We're brain damaged. Reason that we're brain damaged, we need to know that. It causes a man to be lateral in thinking, which means a man tends to use one side of the brain at a time. A woman, though, never had that. She uses both sides of her brain all the time, together. That's why women have like a radar system. It's like women got the maximum memory that could be given. She got 8 megs of RAM, and you and I only got 128. Come on, somebody. K. All we got was the bare minimum, and she gets to keep her 8 megs of RAM. That's why when we think about things, we don't think about them. Come on, somebody. We just don't remember them because we don't have any space left to store that stuff. She stores everything in her brain. She remembers everything. We'll do that just a second. All right. Now, doctors observed boys and girls from 2 years to 4 years, put mics on them and record them. 100% of all the noise coming out of girls' mouth had to do with conversation. Out of a little boy's mouth, only 60% of the noise coming out of a little boy's mouth had to do with conversation. The rest of it was, that's conversation for us. That's how we communicate, boys and girls. Men are 70% less likely to clip coupons. Let me just give you some differences here. Probably I would say that's a little higher. Men are more impulsive in shopping. If something strikes them as interesting or challenging, be it yucky or ugly, consider it so. Come on, somebody. Have you ever taken your husband grocery shopping with you? Let me ask you something. Is the bill lower or higher when it's done with? And what generally does he buy? Chips and desserts and this and that. And does he look at the nutritional label of them? Men don't bother with nutritional labels. They're quick to substitute and aren't fussy over expiration dates. Oh, it's only a week old. Come on, it'll be okay. Put it in the basket. They only know two types of meat, hamburger and sirloin steak. They don't read food ads, and they bother with shopping lists. We don't need a list. And they buy a lot of snacks, especially pretzels and chips and all that. And they don't squirrel away items. Even toothpaste and toilet paper are purchased on an as-needed basis. Come on, somebody. They're far more brand loyal. Now, men change their minds more than women. That's what they found. Men change their mind more than women. Men snore more and fight more. Men, I think that may be physically. I don't think that's emotionally. Men have longer vocal cords. Men's nighttime vision is better than yours. Your husband's is. More men than women are left-handed. Men feel pain less than women. Men talk about themselves less, but worry about themselves more. Oh, incompatibility is a great thing for a marriage. Now, there are gender differences as well as personalities. Some say we got to be compatible. We got to like the same things. That's absolutely wrong. One thing Jazz and I disagree on is ironing. I do not see the need of ironing. I don't know why they made them. There's no need of ironing. When I used to wear a suit, I told her, the only thing you need to iron is the very front of my shirt. Nobody sees the rest of it. Is that right? We used to wear suits all the time. All you have to iron is the front of the suit. Shoot, iron every bit of my iron the back. You never know. Just iron the front of my shirt and that's it. One thing we disagree on, we don't do well on, is shopping. My whole idea about shopping is bag it. Is that what you're... What we going for? Let's bag it. Let's get it, bag it. And they tell you that, their experience is totally... Money, my idea is you got it, spend it. Come on, somebody. Hers is good. Vacation, my idea of vacation. Hey, you want to go? Let's go to Florida tomorrow. Tomorrow? We can't go to Florida tomorrow. When I was single, I used to think, I think I'll go to Disney World. I'll just get in the car and drive to Disney World that same day. That doesn't happen anymore. I don't do that anymore. Books. I don't know about you. I probably read 10, 15 books completely through. I've got a lot of books I start. I never quite get to finish. I just go ahead and go to the back of it and read the end of it. I know where the author is going after I read the first few pages. I'd know it to go to the back of it. Jasmine reads them from start to finish. Now, I want to end up with a clip this morning called The Tale of Two Brains. This is the most intriguing, humorous thing because our brains are totally different. A man and a woman's brain, and this is a great little clip. Go ahead and play it, and we enjoy it.
We're going to start discussing men's brains, women's brains, and how they're very different from each other. Now, I want to start with men's brains. All right? Now, men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes, and we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box, we pull that box out, we open the box, we discuss only what is in that box. All right? And then we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch any other boxes. Sorry, my Catholic upbringing got in there for a minute, but I'm not a Catholic, but I went to Catholic school when I was little. I had a nun who taught on hell like she was born and raised there. I mean, I'll never forget it, but it did me good, actually. It was a good thing. Now, women's brains are very, very different from men's brains. Women's brains are made up of a big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. The money's connected to the car's connected to your job, and your kids are connected to your mother, and everything's connected to everything. It's just like... It's like the internet superhighway. Okay? And it's all driven by energy that we call emotion. It's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it to an emotion, it burns in your memory and you can remember it forever. The same thing happens for men. It just doesn't happen very often because, quite frankly, we don't care. Women tend to care about everything. And she just loves it. Okay? Now, men, we have a box in our brain that most women are not aware of. This particular box has nothing in it. true. In fact, we call it the nothing box. And of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is our favorite box. If a man has a chance, he'll go to his nothing box every time. That's why a man can do something seemingly completely brain dead for hours on end. You know, like fishing. And we love it. That's why a guy can sit in front of a TV and go. Close. Of course, this drives our wives nuts because they'll come up and say, "Stop! Be watching anything." I'm not. Go away. Now, they've actually measured this. The University of Pennsylvania a couple of years ago did a study and discovered that men have the ability to think about absolutely nothing and still breathe. You know, they connected all the wires and stuff like that and watched the brain activity, and then all of a sudden, I think he's dead. Huh? Yeah. Women can't do it. They can't do it. Their minds never stop. And they don't understand the nothing box. And it drives them crazy. Because nothing drives a woman more crazy or makes her feel more irritated than to witness a man doing nothing. Now, one of the biggest revelations I get out of women is this whole nothing box issue. They just, everything's starting to make sense. And I've had women say, oh, it's nothing. Well, can I go in as nothing? Now, one of the biggest revelations I get out of women is this whole nothing box issue. They just, everything's starting to make sense. And I've had women say, oh, it's nothing. Well, can I go in his nothing box with him? No! Why not? Because then it's something! Besides, you'll walk in there and go, you know, this place could really use some pictures. Nice little table over here, some flowers. No! Nothing! Get out! We don't want nothing. Now this handles the way men and women handle stress. Okay? When a man is stressed out, all he wants to do is run to his nothing box. This is how we unwind. The last thing we want to do when we're stressed out is talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. We just want to... Because it just drives her nuts, you know. A woman will see a man in that vegetative state and she'll come up and go, what you thinking about? Nothing.
Well, you gotta be thinking about something.
No, I was thinking about nothing. In fact, I was on the roll till you showed up. Go away. All right? Because that's how he handles stress. He just... Now, when a woman is stressed out, she has to talk about it. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode. So she'll start just... I don't know, my dad's going to do with this. Not going to have this. You know, I never thought about this. My brother over here said me, never mind. And I know men who run from their wives when they do this. They do. I say, well, why do you run from her? He says, because I don't know what to tell her. I said, dear God, man, who told you to tell her anything? She didn't want you to tell her anything. See, a lot of guys, they feel obligated when you start explaining all your stress. They feel obligated to fix you. Right? Because that's what a man does. A man only tells his troubles to another man in hopes that that man will help fix it. Okay? But she's not a man. And you try and fix her, she's going to kill you. Right? She doesn't want your advice. She doesn't want your help. She wants you to shut up and listen. And a couple of ladies.
That's right. You tell her. Tell her to shut up.
Everybody stand up today, would you? Everybody say incompatibility. It's a grounds for a great, great marriage. When I used to do marriage counseling quite a bit, when couples used to come in, I used to write on a card. And, you know, when they sit down here, I just look down. I'm writing on an index card. I take an index card, I used to turn it over and put it right in front of the desk. Because somewhere during that heated discussion at times, one of them would say, I think I married the wrong person. And I would take that card and turn it over, and that's exactly what I wrote on there. I think I married the wrong person. Because they're so different. We're so incompatible with one another. But that's the reason God brought you two together. That's what drew you together, and that's what will keep you together. When understanding that, would you bow your heads? Would you, if you're here with your wife, your husband, would you join hands right now? Remember, I used to end all marriages by saying, so-and-so, this woman you take by the right hand to be your lawful and wedded husband, wife, you must promise to love them, cherish them, cling to them, leaving all others, only cling to them, and be a faithful husband or wife as long as you both shall live. Do you so promise? And one of the keys is that you've done that before the Lord, and God's brought you together. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're on the verge of thinking, and maybe some of you are just about to take a step, the wrong step, the wrong way, and today the Lord's opened your eyes. Maybe you were going through some things and you're at the end and on. But the Lord wants to encourage you that you did not marry the wrong person. God, they are different than you, totally different. Communication is it's something you have to work at. It's a challenge. Living together is a challenge. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll fight through those hard times, you'll be so thankful on the other side that you did. So, Father, this morning we just pray a blessing over every marriage in this house. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy over us. Father, we just pray that you would strengthen them. Lord, help them. Give them courage. Give them understanding that they can dwell with their partner in an understanding way, giving honor to each other the way that you created us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said a great amen. Give them a good clap off today. Would you do that? Turn around and give somebody a good hug. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday.